Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us on this Monday. Brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Purdy's have served this valley for decades because they've been able to find, whether it's auto, home, light business, look, you want to go to the professionals that are also great people to deal with. And that's Purdy Insurance. They'll find you the best price, the right insurance, and they will take care of that policy for you, update it whenever need be. They're always looking for any way to help you. It's Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Pleasure to be in the Sunbury Motors studio. The great people at Sunbury Motors. Outstanding product, great sales staff, service department, second to none, all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. So I'm going to go to Iron Front, huh? On Market Street, August 21st.
Our little annual whoop-de-doo, that's right, yeah.
RSVP. Did you see the RSVP part?
I sure did.
RSVP by August 14th. Kevin at kevinh@wkok.com. A.K.A. the suit.
You took it over. How about that?
What, the event?
I don't know about the event, but just at least the planning part of it.
Planning part of it. I feel like I'm dealing with the party planner of the Titanic. All right, so...
Steer clear. Yeah, our first visit to the Iron Front. Can't wait to go in and check it out. It's going to be terrific.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
I've been hearing rave reviews about that place.
Yes, I'm looking forward to it very much.
Yeah.
It should be a lot of fun. That'll be great. All right. So, Trevor Bauer fires the ball into the seats. Well, not to the seats. He threw it to center field. Now, do you realize from the pitcher's mound to center field how far it is? 400 feet to center field. That means he threw the ball 340 feet. He threw the ball the length plus of a football field to get into the seats. I mean, you got to give the dude credit. I got to give him, I mean, I don't know about you. I give him credit for making, now, what he did was wrong, immature, the whole thing. Yeah, I got it. Okay. We all know that. It's wrong and immature. Okay. But it was impressive. I'll say, in terms of how far he threw it, that was pretty good. That was pretty good.
Quite the distance. At least you get more of a heads up, right, that it's heading in your direction with it so far.
Right. Now he might end up being traded out of all this. I mean, let's be honest about it. I mean, he's still. I thought he was a trade possibility to begin with. And again, if you're in the playoffs, you don't want him near a drone. You remember that incident in 2016 where he cut his finger? Remember, he's on the mound, the blood's dripping off his finger, his pinky. And how did he do that? Oh, this is how he did it. He tried to grab his homemade drone. Really? Oh. Trevor Bauer. All right, the Phillies salvaged the game yesterday with Atlanta. I talked with several scouts in the last few days. Scouts have been all over Medler Field, Lebronto Park, various teams. I'm not going to get into, by the way, the names of the teams, because I think that would be unfair for me to do. Because, you know, you're in casual conversation with some of these people, and you're trying to, you know, get a little info here and there from them in talking with them. So I've always felt it was always best to, you know, keep private. But then in general conversation, you can talk about it. Okay, good. So here we are in general conversation talking about it. One of the guys that I talked to, there are only eight teams that are out of it. There are only eight teams that are out of it. I mean, I'm talking definitively out of the playoffs on July 29th, where it would take a miracle, and let's face it, realistically, they have no shot of getting there. Teams such as the Royals, the Orioles, the White Sox, the Detroit Tigers. Let's see. Just trying to do this off the top of my head.
Marlins.
Well, the Marlins and Pirates are the two National League ones. I mean, so they catch the six. Let me think. Tigers. Oh, Seattle. Who's the eighth one? I'm trying to remember who the eighth one was. Seattle Mariners are definitely one. Unfortunately, because, you know, the Mariners may do something. They may set a mark for being the team in first place the second longest in the history of baseball and finish last. Believe it or not. I mean, those are the only ones that are out of it right now. I mean, the Pirates and the Marlins are definitely out of it. Now what do other teams do? This is where this second wild card makes it very interesting. And in the second wild card, more teams are obviously in it. So this is something we've talked about before. Tigers, Orioles, Royals, Blue Jays, I'm sorry, Mariners and White Sox, and then, of course, the Pirates and the Marlins. They're the only eight that are out of it. The other 22 are in it. I mean, the Colorado Rockies are in last place. Yet you and I both know the Colorado Rockies are actually not a great team, but they're a decent team. But they're only seven games out of the wild card, as are the Padres. Even the Mets are six games back. But they just beat the Pirates in four straight, so I don't know. Does that count? I don't know. But that's where they are. There's 22 teams right now that can still make the postseason, realistically. So the scout I was talking to from a team, his team is in the neighborhood, okay, a couple games, one side or the other, of 500. All right. So that's where they are. And he looked at me, he says, Steve, I don't know what we're going to do. I don't know what we're going to do. He said, we could be buyers. He said, I'm out here looking. He said, either way, I'm looking. He says, even if we sell, there may be a guy I'm looking at here or there. That's a possibility. He said, or we may be buyers. Same story. We may be looking at somebody here or there. That's a possibility. And he said, we're just sitting there waiting to see. He said, but for our management, he said, it's a really tough call. Really tough call. That's where they are right now. In that tough call area. And they don't quite know what. He says, I'm out here just doing what they asked me to do. He said, I'm taking a long, hard look at what's going on here. He said, but in the end, he said, it's going to be their call. He says, and we are in that spot where He said, look, we can get to the wild card. We can do it. Is that good enough? He said, they have to make that determination. Now, I'll tell you one team this was not a scout of. He was not a scout of the San Francisco Giants. The Giants have changed everything. The Giants were absolutely before going to be a seller. Now look at them. Hey, do you still want to deal Madison Bumgarner now? You've battled back to two over 500. You're 2.5 back in the wild card. Really? Now what do you do? And the Giants, by the way, are playing the Phillies at Citizens Bank starting tomorrow. What do the Giants do now? Because remember, Bumgarner was an absolute. He is being dealt. No doubt. Now, he'll waive his no trade, blah, 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 blah. And guess what? The Giants are back in it. I mean, Bumgarner may be 6-7 on the year, but guess what? He's got 140 strikeouts to 29 walks. He's been, his record may not be great because the team around him, for the most part, hasn't been great. But he's got a 3.74 ERA. He's got 140 strikeouts. Jeff Smarja's another guy. You know, he's won 7 games for them this year. Now, Drew Pomeranz, I mean, obviously, he just fills a spot. But and they already dealt Derek Holland. But what do they do here? I mean, Smarja's ERA is 3.95. That's not bad. Bumgarner's ERA is 3.76. Not bad. They both are owed money, but the Giants are back in it. The Giants are 2.5 back in the division. I mean, excuse me, the wild card, not in the division. They won't win the division. The Dodgers will win that. But what do you do? And you're the Phillies. The Phillies need another starter. That's obvious. Probably need another bat. The Braves weekend didn't work out well. They had a win yesterday to salvage the last game of the series. I think the Phillies, I want to say they're a game back in the wild card. That sound right?
One game, yes.
So they're one game back out of the playoffs right now. So the Phillies are obviously got to be in a position where people are thinking, how do we get there? Let's see. Yeah, they're one game back of the Nationals right now. Because obviously the Cardinals or the Cubs, one of them is in first place. Okay, so it's just for the sake of, okay, the Cubs are in first place. They're the divisional leader. Let's just say that for the sake of it, even though they tie with the Cardinals. That means the Cardinals and Nationals will play the one-game playoff at St. Louis. Or if the Cardinals are in first, then it's a one-game playoff at Wrigley. But the Phillies are one game back, and they're tied with Milwaukee. Then it's the Giants who are 2.5 back, and then Arizona's 3.5 back. I mean, there are a lot of decisions that have to be made here. The problem with the Phillies is the number of runs they give up. Oh, my goodness. I mean, the Phillies have produced 503 runs this year. 503. That's good. Really good. Okay? And guess what? They're a minus 22 in run differential. I don't know. Crazy. Second wild card's created all of this. But like you look, for example, let's look at some of these teams here. The White Sox. I think the White Sox are actually building a good young team. They're building a good young team. So they're going to get there. They're building a good young team, and I think they're on the path to down the road, not this year, but maybe middle of next year, respectability. Seattle completely mystifies me. I don't know. Toronto, I think, is right now just circling a fogged-in airport. Kansas City's really struggling right now. Believe it or not, I think the Orioles, it may take 3 years, but they're actually building something organizationally that I think in 3 years you'll see Baltimore move. Okay, there'll be upward mobility there. Detroit, I don't know where they're going. The Marlins will eventually in 3 years be actually, I think, will be pretty good. The Pirates won't be. Pirates, the two hamstrung by ownership. I mean, they've got some really good people there, but they're too hamstrung by ownership. Simple as that. To get anything going. And not only that, but you know, and part of the budget is I'd like to know how much money they're spending on scouting compared to everybody else. Because what's critical to the Pirates to be successful is they must scout well, draft well, sign well. That really is the formula for them.
Speaking of the Pirates, they have struck a trade with the Milwaukee Brewers.
Great. Within the division, even better. Love it.
Jordan Lyles, who was supposed to start for the Pirates tonight, he has been traded to Milwaukee in exchange for...
A bucket of balls.
Right-handed pitcher Cody Ponce. Did I pronounce his last name?
Yeah.
He was the Brewers' second-round pick in 2015, and this year he spent most of his time at Double A Biloxi.
Great. He's going to Altoona.
Lyles was 5-7, 5.36 ERA. Mm-hmm. That was his stats going into tonight's game when he was supposed to start versus Cincinnati. They're getting a big boy. 6'6", 240.
Who, Lyles?
Cody Ponce.
Oh, Cody Ponce, yeah. That's... Well...
Stats with Biloxi this year. 3.29 ERA, 44 Ks, and 27 relief appearances.
That's nice. Look... You know how I feel about the prospect thing, right? As you know, I'm sit there. There's a reason you're a prospect. You know what a prospect is a fancy word for? Never have done it before. Doesn't mean he doesn't have potential. Doesn't mean that. Hey, yeah, you can have potential. I got, you know. At one point, everybody's labeled as having potential. Jordan Lyles. Huh. It doesn't change the balance of power. No offense. I don't think there are a lot of people in Pittsburgh going to be upset if Jordan Lyles got traded. I mean, you know.
If you're a Pirates fan, if you know who's pitching, let us know. We haven't heard at this point.
I don't know.
Who will start tonight?
I don't know. Clint Hurdle knows. It's
going to be Alex McRae. He will start in place of Jordan Lyles.
Awesome. Lyles is 28. As if he's... He's been with the Astros, the Rockies, the Padres, and now he's with the Brewers. Yeah. He was actually a first-round pick of the Astros, you know that? Long, long time ago. Actually came up with the Astros. Then they sent him to Colorado. I think the Spikes faced him when he was at Tri-City. If I think back on that. So I knew he wasn't part of the group that was here. That I did know. And as for Ponce... See here. Ding, ding. Yep, he did pitch for Tri-City. As a matter of fact. Yeah, there we go. You doubt me. It's all you do is doubt me.
Never.
No, you doubt me. It's all you do.
New.
Cody Ponce? How do you spell that name?
P-O-N-C-E.
Okay. I He's got a wild haircut. He's a big guy, 6'6", huh? 25 years old. Played college baseball at Cal Poly Pomona. Let's see what they acquired here. Let's see. Yeah, you're 1-3 with 329. 1-4 in save opportunities. 4-7 in save opportunities in his career. I can see why the Pirates went after him. His last two appearances, he went one inning, gave up two hits and a run. Last appearance, he went one inning, gave up two hits and two runs. That's exactly what the Pirates are looking for. In fact, his ERA has gone from 2.45 up to 3.29 over his last four appearances. His last four appearances, he's given up eight hits, five runs in five innings. Okay. And he's repeating. This is, by the way, his third year in Double A. You know that? It's his third year in Double A. He is definitely going to Altoona. See, this is where the internet's hurt the Pirates. You want to know how it's hurt them? Their fans can look it up and they can read. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
For nearly 100 years, Purdy Insurance has been your locally owned, family-operated source for insurance products. With a staff of over 20 and partnerships with some of the industry's most trusted companies, Purdy has the experience and resources to get the job done. Whether you need personal, home, and auto, or complex business insurance solutions, Purdy will help you navigate through the process. Call today at 570-286-5855. Or better yet, stop in their Sunbury office to see what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC Way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC Way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC Way. The SMC Way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us. Brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, whatever it may be, they are the insurance experts. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Jordan Lyles to the Brewers for Cody Ponce. I would expect Ponce to end up in Altoona. Go double A to double A. He's been in double A the last 3 years. Maybe he goes to Indianapolis, but triple A, but we'll see. How much activity there is this week, I don't know. I don't think anybody knows. There's so many teams in the race, 22 out of 30, to get to the playoffs. What do you do? What do you do? I think it becomes, do you stand pat? Do you make a small, you know, okay, I need a little help in the bullpen, so I get an arm, I give up a prospect. I mean, Lyles is going to end up starting, I think, for the Brewers. They need another arm to start. But he plugs a gap, I guess. That's about what he does. But the Brewers felt they had to do it, and they gave up a prospect. And We'll see. Meanwhile, we've got... I talked about this last night on the show, and Kevin brought this up on the show on Friday. You know, about... And we're always talking about what can make the game of baseball better. We've talked about this a million times, so I'll make it a million and one here for a moment. And something came up in last night's game that I did. It was State College in West Virginia. I was doing the game on TV. And Tom Filer, former major league pitcher, one of the teams he pitched for primarily happened to be the Tigers in his career, comes out to the mound. All right, so he comes out to the mound. And he's not out there to take the pitcher out. And I pointed out that I think the only time you should go to the mound is to take somebody out. I was working with Josh Sperber at the time, and Josh disagreed with me, and that's fine. Josh, you're absolutely entitled to disagree with me. I mean, because this is one of those everybody has their own opinion. And I'm looking around, I'm saying to myself, man, there are 4,000 people here at the park tonight. Right now, you're wasting everybody's time. Okay? Everybody's looking out going, do something. He said, well, you know, sometimes you have to go talk to these guys. I said, well, guess what? I got every half inning to do that. I got every half inning to sit there and talk with you. I got 9 built-in breaks in the game. When you're in the dugout with me. I remember when in the World Series in 1972, they've always had this rule where you get the 2 mound visits, but in the postseason World Series, you actually were allowed unlimited visits, and Dick Williams, who was the manager of the Oakland A's, abused it so badly where he was going out every, it seemed like he must have made, in an inning, he'd make 3-4 mound visits. He's changing pitchers left and right. Okay. Well, he wasn't breaking any rules. Wasn't breaking any rules at all. But they finally changed that rule after that World Series. I think it's got to get to the point where, like, no more mound visits. I'm sorry, no mound visits. I mean, stop wasting people's time going out there. I mean, and you know that, number one, if you've mismanaged the game and you don't have a reliever up, oh, we better get somebody up. Well, whose fault was that? I think it's your fault. You didn't read the situation right. Like, all of us had to pay for your mistakes? We're all just sitting there. And I just don't, you know. Baseball's got to find, it has to sit down and figure out what is wasting our time as fans. And mound visits happen to be one of those where they're wasting time. Now, I know you have the six visit rule now. But remember, the 6 visit rule does not include taking the pitcher out. And to me, the only time there should be a mound visit from the dugout should be when it comes time to take out the pitcher. It is the only sport of the 4 major sports where management is physically on the field. I mean, I don't know how you feel about it, Sean. Sometimes you got to talk to them about their release point, whatever. Hey, guess what? I had 3 days to work with you on this.
That was a huge gripe of your brothers for sure. And he's brought it up more than one time on the show, just pace of play. And last weekend, getting a chance to see the Pirates-Phillies game, that was the one thing I noticed. And I don't think I saw it the last time I was at a Major League game. And it was not on the main jumbo board, but on one of the strips, you know, right between the suites and the first row of the club mm-hmm. seats. You right. could see listed, maybe even right next to left on base, it was mound visits left.
Right. Which is, you know what, that's fine. I mean, I don't mind, you know, that, whatever. But you know what? I'm sick of the pitching coach, with all due respect. Pitching coaches do a fine job, not trying to wreck their job. But I'm sick of them coming out and wasting everybody's time.
And is it just me? It just seems like 9 chances out of 10, when you see that, you see the home plate umpire at least walking halfway down to the pitcher's mound to say, hey, guys, break it up. Let's go.
Well, they're waiting. Believe me. How many times do you see the pitching coach leave before the umpire gets there? Hardly ever. Most of those guys are out there taking as much time as they are possibly allowed to have to talk to their pitcher. I'm sorry, but that is just a waste of time. You've already got 9 built-in opportunities to talk to your people. 9. Okay? Minimum 8. Yeah, you're the hitting coach. You want to talk hitting with them in the dugout? Go ahead. Pitching coach, you want to talk pitching with them in the dugout? Go ahead. Hey, your release point here. Hey. You want to go to the mound? You go to the mound and take the dude out. Hey, the pitching coach visits, okay, are wasting the fans' time. I'm not saying it's a waste of time for the pitching coach. I'm not saying it's a waste of time for the pitcher. But it is a waste of time to the fans who bought tickets, and it's a waste of time for those people watching on TV.
Yeah, what was the total time of last night's Red Sox-Yankees game? Was it, what, 3:46?
Yeah, it was. Because I got there, I finished up my game, and I think I saw the last 3 innings. Last 3 innings. And, you know,
with a cameo appearance by Jennifer Lopez in the broadcast booth, stopping by with a birthday cake for A-Rod.
Okay, great. I saw a picture of it online today, and I was like, are you kidding me? Really?
Jessica Mendoza leaned, she's kind of leaning back to her J-Lo, not once but twice. She goes, you're going to sing happy birthday? And it's like she totally ignored Jessica Mendoza.
Hey, get out of here. Like, sorry, not like, singing tonight.
Like she wasn't even sitting there in the chair.
Yeah. I get paid to sing. I'm not going to do it here for free.
Right. He's like, this has been the summer of cakes.
I mean, but is there anybody out there you know that likes that broadcast? That may even be one of the... Okay, it's interesting. Monday Night Football last season and Sunday Night Baseball may be, in terms of critics and fans, 2 of the most disliked broadcasts in all sports.
I mean, if you had a choice, I mean, would you go with ESPN TV to listen to for Sunday night, or would you prefer ESPN Radio's Boog Chombi and Chris Singleton?
I prefer my local guy. Now, Michael Kay's not out there right now, but I prefer Michael Kay or I prefer Dave O'Brien. They're there every day. They're just better. What's really interesting is that the 2 most panned broadcasts right now, panned, are Monday Night Football and Sunday Night Baseball. And what do the 2 of them have in common?
Same network.
ESPN. And to be honest with you, part of it is, well, and they're doing this in some in college football where they're not doing enough talking about the game in front of them, and they don't know enough about the people in front of them. Okay? Like in the ninth inning last night, okay? Was it the ninth inning? Yeah, it's a 9-4 game. The Red Sox get a couple guys on. It's not as if the Red Sox don't have a lineup. And they're showing you the uppercut of Xander Bogaerts' swing with some graphic, because the producer, see, the problem is the producers and the directors that are doing these things think it's a TV show and they don't think it's a game. Now, maybe I'm old-fashioned, but to me, they're still games. Where they're trying to drive some conversation or something, trying to stop it. Do the game. I'm not so sure ESPN knows how to do the game anymore. Like games. Too busy talking about everything else. I mean, everything's always about something else that's going on. It's never about what's in front of them. And to be honest with you, Sean, it's just, or some gimmick. You know, we got this way of showing you his swing. The producer forces it in. We're gonna have to look at it now. It's like, oh my goodness. So you got a couple million hostages sitting there looking at some graphic that means nothing.
Well, when it comes to replays, what have we seen over the past few years? You get those Axis replays, 360.
That means
now it's
nothing.
Now it's like exit velocity, speed of the ball going out of the yard.
I mean, those are nice add-ons. It's nice little, wow, I went 110 miles. Okay, it went fast. Okay. Yeah, that's fine. That's just a nice little add-on, but it's all it is, an add-on. And they make it into the biggest deal going. It's really super important. Now, I cleared the fence. I assume it was hit hard.
Well, you're right with add-ons. You think, but back then, though, you think, okay, that's information that I would find on SportsCenter when I get my highlights.
Right.
But now it's like commonplace. Yeah, now it's part of the live broadcast every night.
Yeah, it's part of the game. I mean, we get that at our games. We'll get distance of home run, exit velocity. But like, they're just, to me, it's just like color add-ons. It's not the major wow thing. I mean, last night was a ground ball that was hit sharply underneath the glove at third, and I got the exit velocity on the ground ball. It's like, all right, that's fine. I mean, he's on first. That's like the most important thing. That's why I like what I do. Like, that's why I like what I do, Sean. Like, Jack and I, Dick and I, Joe Putnam, we just do the game. Yeah, well, we have a little fun here and there with something, but we do the game. We don't really care about all the other mumbo jumbo. We don't sit there and go, hey, let's talk big picture about the college football playoff. Every ESPN broadcast in college football has to talk about the college football playoff because, of course, they carry it. So now you got to go through like, oh, hey, really? Brock Huard, who are your top four? Okay, here's one over here in the corner. I don't care. I'm trying to watch this game. I don't know a lot about Washington State and Stanford. Tell me about them. Educate me on why he's a good player. Why is he a good player? I mean, the Yankees and Red Sox are easy for me. I know a lot about both teams. But what if the Sunday night game last night happened to be San Diego and Texas? I know a little bit about San Diego. I know a little bit about Texas. But educate me. Tell me more about them. I don't need some graphic showing why the uppercut swing of some guy. I could care less. Doesn't mean anything to me. But they had the toy. So since they had the toy, they had to use the toy. And the producer decided that he had to use the toy. And like I'm telling you right now, you can't start doing things in such a way on TV. People are tuning into the games to watch the game. They're not there to watch the toys. can't get to the point where you're starting to ruin the experience. And why is it that the two most panned broadcasts are considered by the worst by fans and media are Monday Night Football and Sunday Night Baseball? And what do the two of them have in common? That's right. The worldwide leader. I thought they'd help sports. I didn't think they'd ruin it. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors and our great friends at Purdy Insurance.